San Francisco, early syphilis cases among women and heterosexual men have been relatively stable over the last decade. But among MSM, we saw an increase in 2000, and cases have remained high since 2002, and now we're seeing about 500 cases of primary, secondary, and early latent syphilis each year among MSM. The San Francisco Department of Public Health recommends screening every 3 to 6 months for sexually active MSM, and follow-up testing at 1, 3, 6, 9, and 12 months after diagnosis with early syphilis. However, despite those recommendations, 40% of sexually active MSM report not testing for syphilis in the prior 6 months. And among those who are diagnosed with early syphilis, 7% are reinfected within 1 year after treatment. So the objectives of our study were to describe follow-up syphilis testing behavior among MSM diagnosed with early syphilis, to identify factors associated with not having a follow-up test, and to develop criteria for potential interventions among MSM unlikely to have a follow-up test. So we analyzed data from patients diagnosed with early syphilis during 2005 through 2008. We restricted our sample to those who were interviewed by DPH disease investigators, who interview patients with primary, secondary, and early latent syphilis, and who are residents of San Francisco. We defined MSM as men who identified as gay or bisexual or who had ever had sex with a man. And we restricted our sample to those who had initial serologic titers that were available and at least 1 to 16. And we did this because we only have access to reactive serologic tests that are reported to DPH, and we wanted to maximize the likelihood that follow-up tests would remain reactive. And we do have access to non-reactive tests from the public health laboratory, but not from other laboratories in San Francisco. And for MSM who were diagnosed more than once and interviewed more than once during this period, we used the most recent interview. So we analyzed surveillance data on reactive serologic tests to assess syphilis testing behavior after diagnosis. Our outcome of interest was having no documented follow-up test in the 1 to 6 months after diagnosis. And we allowed a 1 week window on either end so that we included tests between 23 and 190 days after diagnosis. We divided patients chronologically into a derivation set of those who were diagnosed in 2005 and 2006, and a validation data set of those who were diagnosed in 2007 and 2008. And we used the derivation set to develop the model and the validation set to test the model. And we did this because we wanted to assess how well the model would predict having no follow-up test in a new set of patients. All factors that were associated with not follow-up testing in bivariate analysis were included in a multivariate log binomial model, which we used to calculate unadjusted and adjusted risk ratios. And we also wanted to know what would happen if we used our model to guide intervention design. So we evaluated criteria for potential interventions to increase follow-up testing. We did this by evaluating the patient characteristics that remained in the final model. For example, if we found that methamphetamine use were associated with not having a follow-up test, we might want to know the proportion of patients who had used meth and how many non-follow-up testers we would identify by targeting that group for an intervention. So for each patient characteristic or combination of characteristics in the model, we calculated the proportion of non-follow-up testers who would be identified, which is essentially the sensitivity, and the proportion of the total sample that would have to be included if we use those characteristics as criteria for a focused intervention. So during 2005 through 2008, there were 1,217 cases of early syphilis among MSM in San Francisco with titers of at least 1 to 16. Among those, 71% were interviewed, and there were 795 unduplicated MSM that were included in the analysis. Most were in secondary stage, 37% were of non-white race or ethnicity, the median age was 40, and 29% reported meth use in the prior 3 months. 33% had no documented serologic test in the 1 to 6 months after diagnosis. We identified several factors that were associated with not follow-up testing in bivariate analysis. Having no history of syphilis, having concurrent gonorrhea or chlamydia infection, living outside of the Castro, which is San Francisco's largest gay-identified neighborhood, not being HIV infected, being diagnosed with syphilis at the STD clinic, and using cocaine in the prior 3 months. So just as an example, MSM who were not HIV infected were 2.2 times more likely to have no follow-up test for syphilis than MSM who were HIV infected. In the adjusted model, there were three factors that remained associated with not follow-up testing: residing outside of the Castro, not being HIV infected, and being diagnosed with syphilis at the STD clinic. So we wanted to take the results of our model and see how they would play out in the real world. So we evaluated those three patient characteristics as possible criteria for interventions to increase follow-up testing. So I'll just walk you through this figure. So the ideal criteria would maximize the proportion of all non-follow-up testers identified, which you can see on the y-axis, and minimize the proportion of the sample we'd have to include, which you can see on the x-axis. So the most efficient criteria would be located in the upper left corner of the graph. Criteria that fall in the diagonal line would be no better at identifying non-follow-up testers than random chance, and we wouldn't be interested in criteria that fall below the diagonal line. So, for example, an intervention focusing on MSM who are diagnosed at the STD clinic and not HIV infected and residing outside of the Castro would identify 26% of all non-follow-up testers and only include 13% of patients. So while 26% is not high in terms of sensitivity, it does provide some efficiency in reaching non-follow-up testers. And here you can see the remaining criteria. So the take-home point here is that we can use our model to guide intervention design. So let's say we want to implement an intervention to increase follow-up testing with incentives or reminders among MSM with early syphilis, but we only have sufficient funding to target about 30% of our patients. We can use this graph to identify criteria that might provide some efficiency in identifying non-follow-up testers. So we might use criteria C or B or A because those include about 30% or fewer of MSM diagnosed with early syphilis. So to summarize, 1/3 of MSM had no follow-up test in the 1 to 6 months after diagnosis with early syphilis. We identified three factors that were associated with not follow-up testing. HIV uninfected MSM were more likely to not have a follow-up test, and this may be because of previous efforts to incorporate syphilis screening into HIV care in San Francisco. We also found that MSM diagnosed at the STD clinic were more likely to not have a follow-up test. It may be that patients seeking care at the STD clinic are less likely to be engaged in regular primary care and therefore test less frequently. And finally, we found that MSM residing outside of the Castro were more likely to not have a follow-up test. The Castro has been the focus of DPH campaigns to promote syphilis testing, and it's also where the Gay Men's Health Clinic is located. So those factors may have facilitated testing among those residents. We use those three factors to develop evidence-based criteria that can guide the use of limited resources for interventions. So there are several limitations to this analysis. The first is that we excluded patients whose titers at diagnosis were less than 1 to 16. So this excluded more patients who were in primary stage, but when we compared included and excluded MSM, we found no differences by race or ethnicity, age, or HIV infection status. We also might have misclassified some MSM as non-follow-up testers if their follow-up tests were non-reactive and therefore not reported to the DPH. But 90% of patients with titers of at least 1 to 16 will still test reactive at 6 months after diagnosis. Our results might not be generalizable, especially to other jurisdictions where most syphilis cases are not among MSM, but our methods can be replicated elsewhere. And finally, while laboratory reporting of reactive syphilis tests is mandated by law, the completeness of that reporting has not been recently validated. So I'd just like to thank my collaborators as well as the disease investigation team at San Francisco City Clinic. And I'll take questions.